Please come on a journey with me back in time to first century Palestine. It's late autumn. The harvest has been gathered in. The days are still very warm, but not too hot. And the evenings are cool, perfect for sitting and talking and dancing long into the night. And there's a relaxed atmosphere in the villages of Galilee. After working hard and gathering the harvest in, there's a sense of relief and satisfaction. And some of the grapes that have been picked are already being made into wonderful fruity light wine. And this year, there was an even greater sense of anticipation. There was to be a wedding in Cana. Two large, well-known Jewish farming families were coming together as their son and daughter were to be married. And the celebration would last 2 or 3 days. Everyone in Cana was invited to the wedding celebration. Mary from Nazareth was invited, along with her son Jesus. I would like you to imagine that I am Mary's best friend. I was at the wedding too. I'll tell you the amazing things that happened. You'll never believe it. Well, the party was in full swing. Everyone from the village was there. In fact, many came as well from the surrounding villages because they'd been involved in collecting up the harvest. A lot of them had had a little too much wine to drink, if you ask me. But Mary and I are best friends. We brought our children up together. Her son, Jesus, was there too. He seems to have gathered a bit of a following recently, a motley crew. Some of them are fishermen, and they all turned up as well. Anyway, it was late evening, and we knew the dancing would go on till dawn and the next few days. Mary and I were people watching. We loved doing that. And we could see something was up. The servants had stopped serving the wine and they were milling around near the water jars. And the chief steward was talking to the groom. They looked very concerned. And then we realised they'd run out of wine. What a disgrace! The groom would never live it down. And the whole area would remember this for years. It would bring shame on the family. Some would say it was a bad omen for the marriage. But before we even had time to talk about it further, Mary jumped up and went straight over to Jesus. "They have no more wine," she told him. Now, over the years, Mary has confided in me. She's been holding everything in her heart. All the amazing things that happened when Jesus was born. The angels, the shepherds worshipping him, Simeon and Anna meeting them in the temple, and the prophecy that Jesus is a light to reveal God to all nations. Wow, the Messiah even. And then the wise men from the east turning up with gifts. And they had to flee to Egypt because Herod was so furious. And then she told me about the time when Jesus was 12 and they lost him in Jerusalem for 3 days. And then she found him teaching in the temple. Yes, Mary knows who Jesus is. Nobody else can see it. She is confident that he can sort this out. "They have no more wine," she told him. I was watching. Jesus didn't seem to want to get involved. "My time hasn't come yet," he said. What a strange thing to say. But it reminded me. Mary once mentioned that Simeon had said a sword would pierce her heart. I know Mary always remembered that. It was quite disturbing. What did he mean by it? What was going to happen to Jesus? Was this the time Jesus was talking about when he said, "My time hasn't come"? I think Mary knew what he meant. And Jesus' gang were open-mouthed. Why did this woman think Jesus had anything to do with it? He's not even family. But I could see Jesus was concerned. He was always so concerned for others. And he always understood their needs and feelings. Mary was having none of it. "Do whatever he tells you," she said to the servants. She was confident in her son. And then, you were never going to believe this. Jesus told the servants to fill up 6 massive stone jars with water, the ones they used for the purification ceremonies. That was at least 120 gallons of water. He must be mad, I thought. I know everyone's drunk, but they're never going to be fooled into drinking water. And the next thing that happened, the chief steward dipped out some water. Jesus' friends and all the servants were dumbfounded. What on earth were they doing? But it was not water at all. The steward tasted it. It was rich red wine, deep and smooth. The best wine they'd ever tasted. And gallons of it. Much more than was needed. Jesus never does anything by halves. He cared so much about that newly married couple and their families that he wanted to bless them abundantly. And now it all made sense. Jesus was giving us a sign, a hint of who he really was. The old Jewish ways, with laws of purification, were coming to an end. The water jars contained something new. Jesus was saying a new thing is about to happen. Now, us Jews know all about our scripture. We're taught it from childhood. And it all came back to me in a flash. Isaiah speaking of the Lord's promise to spread a wonderful feast for all the people of the world. It will be a delicious banquet with clear, well-aged wine. And then he will remove the shadow of gloom that hangs over the earth, wipe our tears, and swallow up death forever. And then Amos's prophecy that Israel will drip with sweet wine and the Lord will live among us. And there are many others. Wow, it suddenly hit me. Mary was right. She knew all along, just as she had always claimed that the angel told her. She had given birth to the very Son of God, who will reign over Israel forever and whose kingdom will never end. And Jesus was letting us know he is the Messiah, the one we have all been waiting for, that the prophets talked about. And his friends got it too. I could tell by the look on their faces. And in that moment, it felt like heaven had touched earth. I'm going to pause here for us to think about this. As we sing about who Jesus is, the revelation we now have that began in Cana with water being turned into wine, the first of many signs. And then we'll think about what this means for us today. We'll sing Waymaker, Promise Keeper, Miracle Worker. So in this first miracle in Cana, Jesus is hinting, for those of us who have eyes to see, that he is the Messiah. And this is the first of many signs. I've always thought, for a first miracle, Why didn't Jesus heal someone or raise someone from the dead? Why this? Why water into wine? It's so cryptic. But perhaps for the Jews it was more obvious to them than it is to us. In the Old Testament scriptures, there's numerous references to wine, and it's associated with blessing and salvation and restoration. And the symbolism indicates that the old ways of following the law are gone, and Jesus is coming to do a new thing. He is the Messiah, the Saviour, who will bring God's kingdom to earth and make all things new. So what is God saying to us in all this? What can we learn for ourselves today? I suggest two words, relationship and response. In the first chapter of John, we read that Jesus reveals God to us. So if we look at Jesus, we can see what God is like. And here we see that Jesus cared about the situation. We see his compassion. We see that he understands people's needs. He cared that the family might be disgraced. He cared that there might be a bad start to their married life. God cares about the comparatively small things in our lives too. He sees, he understands, he cares about the whole of our lives, not only the tragic, life-changing events, but also the everyday problems and struggles that we face. The things we might think are not important enough to bring to him. We're all experiencing for a long time now a very low level underlying anxiety as we go through this pandemic. And as Peter says, give all your worries and cares to God. He cares about you. Jesus wants to be involved in all our lives, in relationship with us. And when Jesus is present, lives are transformed. Heaven touches earth. And Jesus responded to Mary's plea. They have no more wine. This simple statement expresses complete trust and faith. She doesn't worry or stress. She's confident that Jesus can sort this out because of who he is. She expressed the need and she waited in calm, confident hope. Telling the servants, do as he tells you. She didn't tell Jesus how to respond. You know, sometimes I think our prayers are a bit like an action plan for God. They go something like, Jesus, they have no more wine. Please may the neighbours give them some wine. Please will you give the servants the strength to carry it back. Please will you let this happen tonight. Etc., etc. You know what I mean? When we pray, it's so tempting to give God a list of things to do. But Jesus responds in unexpected ways. As Paul says, God can do more than we ask or imagine. Jesus can change our lives and bless us abundantly. We don't need to tell God what to do. He can do it. I think God would say to us today, just tell me what you need and wait in confident hope. God will respond to our prayer. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. And he reminded us that God's heart is to bless us, to give good things to his children. In these times we're living in, there's so much need all around us. And we're getting weary. This pandemic has affected us all in very different ways. It's turned everyone's life upside down. But he wants us to come to him in simple trust and confident hope and calmly wait and see what he will do. He will respond. So I encourage you to know that God loves you He cares. He wants the relationship with you. He wants to bless you and meet your needs. If you come to him in prayer, in simple trust and confident hope, he will respond. In his way, in his time, which may be beyond all we can ask or imagine. Jesus can transform our situations and our lives. He is the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, and he brings light into our darkest places. Now Heidi, who is a member of our Deaf Church, has very bravely agreed to share her testimony with us this morning of how God responded to her need recently. Many of you will remember Heidi. She was baptised at St James on Easter Day in 2018. And at that time, she shared with us that one of her lungs had been removed due to stage 4 cancer. And since then, she's been receiving treatment for cancer. And she's going to tell you about what happened recently. Thank you, Heidi. That's an amazing story, isn't it? Of how God was with Heidi as she went through coronavirus. And we just praise and thank God so much that he has responded to our prayers. So, and we don't know the future, but we do know that God is with us